So today we'll turn to a topic covered quite a bit in Proverbs, and that is the topic of work. And again, you can take out the sermon inserts. It has the text that we'll look at on the back, and it's this time organized chronologically or with the book, order of the book. The work that we're going to cover is not just work that you're paid for, although that will be an important part of it, but all productive work, studies, work that you do for yourself and your family, work to make a product to sell, work for pay, charitable work for others. We're going to be talking about this topic. But before we open it up, let us go ahead and pray once again. Dear Father, we pray that you would lead us in truth and wisdom, that you would open our eyes and illumine our minds by your Spirit's work, that we might understand your word, that we might be convicted by your word, that we might obey your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So perhaps you've heard of this story, the story of the little red hen. The little red hen one day found a grain of wheat, and it asked the other barnyard animals, "Who will plant this wheat?" "Not I," said the dog. "Not I," said the pig. "And not I," said the turkey. So the little red hen did it herself. And then she asked, "Who will harvest this wheat?" "Not I," said the dog. "Not I," said the pig. "And not I," said the turkey. So the little red hen did it herself. Well, then she asked, "Who will thresh the wheat?" "But not I," said the dog. "And not I," said the pig. "And not I," said the turkey. So the little red hen did it herself. And then she asked, "Who will take this grain to the mill to turn it into flour?" "Not I," said the dog. "And not I," said the pig. "Not I," said the turkey. So the little red hen did it herself. And then she asked, "Who will make bread from this flour?" "Not I," said the dog. "And not I," said the pig. "And not I," said the turkey. Well, then finally, the little red hen, well, after doing that, asked, "Who will eat this bread?" "I will," said the dog. "I will," said the pig. "I will," said the turkey. But the little red hen said, "Don't worry, I got this one," and ate it all. Now, the story is kind of funny and maybe rather relatable. You can see this attitude perhaps in yourself and probably more easily in others, but we desire the fruit of labor often without doing the labor part. We can be good eaters and masters at watching things, champions of consumption, but tire easily of working and producing. It is rather humorous. Much of the material in Proverbs is rather humorous when it regards the sluggard. He's hinged to his bed like a door on its hinges. It helps to laugh at yourself, perhaps, to see it as pitiful as it is, to see someone with so much ability and so little willpower to do so. It is pitiful yet relatable, something that we find in ourselves. Sloth and idleness, as well as fretfulness and anxious haste, we'll see, beset us when we lose sight of wisdom. Work is done wisely when it is done in the fear of the Lord. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as we saw at the beginning of Proverbs. When you revere God, the God who is gracious, who is generous, faithful, and sovereign, it will lead you to a different way of working. If you fear the Lord, you will first work with diligence by embracing God's call to work, and then two, you will work with faith in God. And we'll look especially at those two points. But let's consider first what I'll take as the main passage, the theme passage, in Proverbs 10, verses 3 through 5. Again, you can find it on the back or, of course, in your Bibles. Proverbs 10, 3 through 5. "The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame." We are taught to trust in God's provision, and he will not let the righteous go hungry, and we see in that third verse. But what is God's normal way of providing for the righteous? Through their work, as we see in the next two verses. The righteous and the wise man or woman both trusts in God and is diligent. The wicked and foolish man or woman does not trust in God. They are driven by their cravings. They are not diligent. They sleep and harvest and work with a slack hand. These two ideas, then, diligence and faith, will be our focus as we contrast the ways of the wise worker with the ways of the foolish sluggard. So first, let's look at diligence. Why work with diligence? Again, Proverbs 3:10-3 tells us that God provides for the righteous. But then verse 4 says that the hand of the diligent makes rich. Which is it? Does God provide for us, or do we provide for us? Yes. God can provide for us in many ways, but the normal, regular way unfolded in Proverbs is through diligent work. God has called us to work. He created us to work. He created Adam and Eve to work the garden. The garden would provide many good foods for them, but it was a garden that needed tended. Even before the fall, work was a regular means of provision. And then after sin and the curse, work became harder and more difficult, less efficient. And by the sweat of your brow would you eat bread. And by the pains of childbirth would provision be made for future generations. You are tempted, then, to abandon God's calling, his call to work, to follow your cravings, your desires for pleasure, for sleep, and entertainment. These things may not be bad, but to seek them immoderately, immediately, without the fear of God is wrong and foolish. You're tempted to rebel against responsibility and replace it with mere consumption. A slack hand and an unseasonable nap are the result, with poverty close behind, as Proverbs portrays. The future, looking to the future, providing for the future, entails responsibility. And as sinners, we will revolt against responsibility, or at least are tempted to do so. The rebel lives in the present. The future requires duty, but the future will come. Christians, you who fear God and embrace your calling, you, though, can live for the future. You are not afraid of duty. In fact, duty will give the work more meaning and more satisfaction than it would have otherwise. You can pursue diligence with eagerness, knowing that you are serving God and following his ordained means of provision. This is what God created us to do, and this is his created means that leads to daily bread and peace. It is then that we can play and rest with security. For as Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Duty to God is the wise choice, while rebellion and self-centered pleasure-seeking is self-defeating and foolish. As Martin Luther would say, the world does not consider labor a blessing, therefore it flees and hates it. But the pious who fear the Lord, they labor with a ready and cheerful heart, for they know God's command and will. They acknowledge his calling. And so how do we labor diligently and embrace this calling? Well, we might look at three different things. First, we are diligent by managing time well. In Proverbs 28:19, it says, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. Now, the contrast in this proverb is between productive work and worthless pursuits. It could be more literally translated as the one who works his land will be filled with bread, but he who follows empty things will be filled with lack. Hopefully you maybe see the play on words. Empty things produce emptiness. You'll be filled with nothing. Empty things refers to worthless pursuits. I mean, the translation's not wrong. Just to bring that the play on words there, though. It refers to activities that are unproductive, without purpose. They are like daydreams, unsubstantial. They might even be pursuits that have slight benefits that you could look at the silver lining and maybe we'll kind of get some benefit from it this way, but are still relatively worthless. The sluggard will be very willing to justify his laziness, as we saw in Proverbs 26. There's a lion in the street. Maybe it'll be beneficial for me to stay back home. But a diligent man or woman will honestly and carefully examine whether this pursuit really is worthwhile or whether it is a worthless pursuit, whether substantial or empty, productive or idle. The diligent will seek to make the best use of the time. The one who fears the Lord will understand that his time is not his own. It has been given to him by God. We have a duty to use it well, to find helpful and productive things to do on our time on earth. It'll never be with us again. Does a particular activity honor God? Does it help others? Does it serve the public good? Does it benefit your body and soul? And just because something might be worthwhile to do a little does not mean that it's necessarily worthwhile to do a lot. Some things lose their usefulness as you spend more time doing it. It might be worthwhile in small bits. By nature, things like movies and social media and computer games and even the news, things that use modern technology might be useful in bits and pieces, but they also can become addictive and might lose their worthwhileness as you spend more time with them. And so a diligent man will consider carefully what is he doing and at what point is it worthwhile. A diligent person prioritizes things that are clearly beneficial over things that are dubious and marginally helpful. Some work is more worthwhile than other work. Some play is more worthwhile than other play. Some learning is more worthwhile than other learning. Fill your time with worthwhile things, and you yourself will be filled. Your belly, your strength, your mind, and your soul. So use the time. Also then be diligent by doing good work. Proverbs 18:9 says, "Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys." A lazy worker who does a poor job is right up there with someone who is destructive on purpose. Imagine two houses. One of them is built by someone who doesn't really is lazy and takes shortcuts and does a poor job. And then you have another person who's just trying to destroy a house. Both houses might come down in the end, even if they came about by different means. Plus, the lazy worker, the poor worker who is able but refuses to do the best job he could, is usually trusted by others, as opposed to the enemy who's just out there to destroy. Either his employer or his family or his customer, they will depend on him for good work. The lazy worker destroys something that an outright enemy could not. What is that? Trust and community. The enemy cannot destroy that because he was never trusted to begin with. The lazy worker, though, can do so. But if a lazy worker, if a slack hand is a destroyer, then a good worker, a diligent hand, is a builder, is the opposite of one who destroys. While laziness and poor quality work lets people down, good quality work builds trust and gratitude. It fuels community. One who fears the Lord realizes that his work is not just something necessary to get by, but it is done to glorify God and to serve others. One writer of the last century said, when utilitarianism, in other words, the view that things just exist for pure use, nothing beyond that, when that became enthroned and the worker is taught that work is mere use and not worship, interest in quality begins to decline. How many times have we heard exclamations of wonder at the care which went into some article of ancient craftsmanship before modern organization drove a wedge between the worker and his product? There is a difference between expressing oneself in form and producing quality quantity for a market with an eye to speculation. In other words, how much you can get off of it. Now, that's not bad in itself, but the idea is if it is no longer a way to serve God, if you no longer have the fear of God before your eyes, if your work is not being done as a way to serve God and others, interest in quality will decline. The lazy worker is described well in the passage we've already looked at, Proverbs 26, verses 13 through 16. The sluggard said, "There's a lion in the road, there's a lion in the street. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard in his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." So the sluggard comes up with pitiful excuses not to work. The sluggard loves his bed. Now, today we might not have the same problem of sleeping too much as they did in the ancient world. People say that modern society is an experiment in how little sleep we can get. But we also love our bed in other ways, and just waiting for passive entertainment or laying around not doing work, general sluggishness and avoidance of work. The sluggard begins but does not finish his work. He puts his hand in his dish, but he can't bring it back out. The sluggard is blind to his own sloth and thinks very highly of himself. So avoid being that guy. That's what Proverb does with these character studies. They're exaggerated. Some people might fit them literally, but more often it's putting as a character here, don't be that guy. It's not a man who fears the Lord. The sluggard is a proud man without discipline or motivation, a coward who is useless to those around him. Being diligent means being courageous despite possible excuses, being disciplined and willing to deny yourself rest when it's time to work. It means finishing what you start and being willing to examine yourself and your own work. And the diligent man or woman works hard and attentively. And then finally, the third way we are diligent is by using foresight. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." The proverb contrasts the plans of the diligent with hastiness. Hastiness can sometimes be necessary when the unexpected happens, but it's often the result of a lack of planning, of procrastination, putting off the work until the last minute, and then you're rushing to meet up to the deadline. When you procrastinate, you will live in haste. Haste, as they say, makes waste. But the way to avoid it is not just to slow down and to don't haste. Rather, it is to use forethought and planning to be wise. This requires initiative, beginning on the work before you're forced to do so by the deadline ahead of you. The sluggard will only work when it becomes necessary for survival, to meet the deadline. This is the way to poverty and slavery. But the diligent man or woman who embraces God's call to work will begin on it before it's a matter of survival. He'll begin on it because it is God's call. You can look to the future. You can embrace your duties. This is your calling, but under God. Do not shy away from it. The one who works with forethought and initiative will prosper and gain freedom, but the sluggard will be enslaved by deadlines. I look to Proverbs 12:24 to demonstrate this result. It says in Proverbs 12:24, "The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor." Those who govern themselves and work wisely, living in the fear of God, do not need to be forced to labor. But the slothful who avoid work will become slaves, slaves to deadlines, slaves to their conditions, slaves to people like creditors or governments. If you are driving a car and you look ahead, you have the freedom to turn on any road that is out there. But if you only look right in front of your car, you don't get many choices because you can't change three lanes in 2 seconds, at least without causing an accident. To drive this lesson home, Proverbs takes us outside for a lesson in the garden. Proverbs 6:6-11 says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." Of course, it's typically not the sluggard who learns this lesson, but those who avoid being a sluggard. Anyway, "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want, that is lack, like an armed man." The ants take initiative to plan, to work, to prepare, to gather, and therefore they need no ruler to force them to work, and they are well fed. But the sluggard needs only a little more sleep, a little more slumber, which becomes a little more and a little more, always pushing the snooze button, procrastinating until he's forced out of bed. Poverty comes like a robber, like an armed man. He has no choice. He is forced at that point. He is trapped. So to summarize, working wisely in the fear of the Lord means that you'll work diligently, embracing God's call to work. And this is done by managing time well, doing good work, and using foresight. This is our first point, being diligent at work. Managing time well in a worthwhile way, doing good work, being diligent to accomplish the task well, and then using foresight and planning. This is what happens when you work in the fear of the Lord. But the second point we'll look at, not only working with diligence, but also working with faith in God. Why work with faith? Let's go back to Proverbs 10, that theme verse. Proverbs 10, verse 3. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Our work is the regular means God uses to provide us with our daily bread, but do not forget that it is God who provides it. This is why we pray for it, as we are taught in the Lord's Prayer. Work is not the only means by which we receive God's provision. In fact, sometimes we're not able to work, and still God still provides. Faith, prayer, and repentance, they set apart the righteous from the wicked. God is the one who cares for the righteous especially. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will become children of God and under his special care. You should trust God's word and labor in faith and hope. Those who believe in Jesus Christ don't just labor diligently, but they labor in faith. So what happens when you do not work with faith in God? Without faith in God, people get desperate, they get fretful, they get greedy, they place their trust in wealth. Their desperate desire for wealth tends to corrupt, making people dishonest or manipulative. Without faith in God for our daily bread, or even with simply weak faith, discontentment and anxiety invade our work, and work becomes something undesirable, something like a burden, because it is filled with anxiety. And if this is not the result of a lack of faith, there might be other reasons that cause anxiety, but still the faith will still help in any situation to believe that God will provide for his people. Some people do not rather have anxiety and fretfulness. Other people lose hope. Why work? They despair and again fall back into sluggishness and laziness. But the Proverbs especially will point out those without faith, not only not being diligent, like we just covered, but also those who then place their faith in their wealth and fretfully and hastily seek to gain it. A lack of faith will help us. So we should work with faith. But how do we work with faith? How do we work with faith in God? Not how do we have faith in God. That would be a different discussion. It's important. We have faith in Jesus Christ, resting on him for salvation and being secure in the Father's love. But how does our faith in God affect the way we work? How do we trust God in the midst of our work? What does it look like? Well, let's look at two passages in particular. Proverbs 23, 4 through 5. This will be the first one. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards heaven. It's a little counterbalance to perhaps some of what we've said already. Proverbs 28, 20 through 22 and verse 25. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. To show partiality is not good, but for a piece of bread a man will do wrong. A stingy man hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. And then verse 25, a greedy man stirs up strife, but one who trusts the Lord will be enriched. So from these two verses, we might draw three ways that we work in faith, three results of our faith among our work. The first is contentment. We see that a believing worker will exercise contentment. A greedy man, in verse 25, is contrasted with one who trusts the Lord. One who trusts the Lord believes that God will provide for him, and he can work confidently in hope that the Lord will provide in this means of work. And he also knows not to put his trust in uncertain wealth. Wealth can sprout wings and fly away like an eagle into heaven. One who trusts in his wealth cannot get too much of it. You can always get more. He seeks his security in wealth, the one who trusts in his wealth, not in God. He seeks his security in wealth. The more wealth, the more secure he feels. And so he'll continue to get on this endless cycle of accumulation. He becomes stingy and greedy, desperate to maintain his wealth, hastening to get rich. He toils to acquire wealth, and wealth is a cruel master, always demanding more work. One who does not trust the Lord can become a workaholic, putting work and the pursuit of wealth above all. But this lack of faith results in strife, in disappointment, perhaps even in poverty. Rather, the one who trusts the Lord will be enriched with peace, contentment, and gratitude. The one who trusts the Lord will receive contentment. Even if the greedy man has more money in the bank, the one who trusts the Lord will have the greater feeling of abundance, will be richer in the way that counts. And then second, we see that a worker who trusts in the Lord will put limits on his work. He or she will not hasten after wealth. Rather, the one who works with faith will be able to set down his tools and say, it's enough, all in a day's work. But the one who does not trust God, as Rushdoony says, cannot have true rest, nor can he give rest to others, to the soil, to the animal creation. He's driven to work without limits. His labors are without limits. And he finds it difficult to be a good steward of his time or of his workers or of the creation, since he is driven to extract all the wealth he can. The one who works by faith, though, is content to limit himself, to give rest to himself, to his workers, to his land. The one who trusts in the Lord will know how to balance work that is done for financial gain and work that is done for other reasons. Building relationships, training your children, creating art and music, worshiping God, showing hospitality, doing charitable work for others. It takes faith to pursue these tasks because they might not produce wealth. Faith and commitment allow us to put limits on our work of provision so that we might pursue other things as well. Faith and commit and contentment also allow us to do other things besides work, things like play and rest. The miser and the workaholic has difficulty playing a game or sleeping, but the diligent worker who trusts in God can play and rest securely. The Sabbath is a great test of faith. Are you able to put limits on your work? Are you able to say, no, I'm not going to work at this point? Can you spend time doing work that does not bring you wealth, work like worship and charity? Can you rest from your works and rest in God's? The Sabbath, the Lord's Day, is a great test of our faith. And then a third result of faith on our work is that it encourages faithfulness. Rather than toiling after wealth, we work to be faithful to God and man. Proverbs 28:21 has said that to show partiality is not good, but for a piece of bread, a man will do wrong. If you trust in wealth or desire it immoderately, it will corrupt you. If you do not trust God, the love of wealth will corrupt your work. Not just you, but the work you do. A judge who fears God, for example, and trusts in him can faithfully judge the case that is before him. But a judge that is driven by a desire for wealth, who trusts in it and seeks security in it, he'll be very vulnerable to bribes. The same for other vocations. Judges are not the only people who can do poor work in exchange for dishonest gain. But faith says duties are ours, consequences are God's. Be content with your duties. Fulfill your station with the confidence that your work is not in vain. As Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. And so working with faith results in contentment. It results in the ability to put limits and rest, and it results in faithfulness, steadfastness to your duty. These are the marks of one who trusts in God. The New England Puritan Cotton Mather would say, a Christian should follow his occupation with contentment. Is your business here clogged with any difficulties and inconveniences? Contentment under those difficulties is no little part of your homage to that King who has placed you where you are by his call. So believe in Jesus Christ. Know that he brings believers under the fatherly care and protection of God. Nothing can separate you from his love. Even in sickness, even in poverty, he is there and will not leave you. And he seeks your good. Trust in him for your daily bread. Find security in his love and care, not in your conditions. Then you will be freed to find contentment, to find limits, to find faithfulness. And so how do you work wisely? You work in the fear of the Lord. And if you fear the Lord, you will embrace his calling by working diligently, and you will work with trust in him for the results. The fear of the Lord will lead you to work wisely, using your time in a worthwhile manner, doing good work and using forethought. It leads you to be wise by being content, having limits, being faithful. But diligence and faith, these two things we have looked at, they go together, having the same source in the fear of God. It's easier to rest when you have been diligent. And it's easier to be diligent when you have hope that springs from faith. The diligent man is the one that can rest and that knows that he has pursued God's calling in his life, can rest in God's provision. And the one with faith can realize that his work is not in vain, that he is able to do his work with the hope that God will provide for him through it. The two go together, as we saw them side by side in that theme verse from Proverbs 10. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So let us trust God through Christ, and let us work diligently to his glory. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this call, this task to work for you. We know there is a great variety of labors that each one of us is set to do. Some use the body, some use the mind more. All of it tends to use body and soul. We know that some are learning their tasks, some have been doing it for a long time. But despite all this diversity, we know that you have called us to serve you, to serve others with all that you have given us in the place that you have put us. And so we pray that you would give us diligence, that you would give us faith, that we might embrace our labors with meaningfulness and cheerfulness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.